Thank you for coming on to Shaftesbury's half-year results presentation. You've been watching a clip of Berwick Street World Record Shop Day, which we had back at April, early May. I should remember, because it's probably the only sunny weekend we've had since I don't know when. You remember we kicked off with a Rolling Stones launch at our year end, and we're following on with another music event. You know, this is very much in the tradition and history of what makes the West End tick. But for us, these events are hugely important in raising the profile of our areas, and Simon will tell you a little bit more about the day itself. And if you look at the cover of our presentation, you'll see somebody on stage there. In case you don't know who it is, Simon will tell you when he gets into his section. So just a couple of housekeeping things. We do have people listening in on an audio link this morning. The presentation we're going to follow is available on our website. So if you haven't already downloaded it, please do so. And for those of you in the room, we do have a revamped website which we've launched earlier this week, so please do have a look at it, and if you've got any comments on it, do let us know. We will follow up the presentation with a Q&A session for people in the room and people listening in, and I think the aim is to get us all finished and done by about 11:30 this morning. You would have heard a lot earlier today, for those of you who heard the Great Portland presentation, about how prosperous London is. And I'm afraid you're going to hear the same story from us. London and the West End is on a bit of a roll. 2012 was obviously a very important year for London, and it has showcased London to the rest of the world. So it's not surprising that we're attracting lots of visitors here. More importantly, lots of businesses are choosing London as their location, so that's bringing an ever greater working population to the centre of London. And lots of people want to come and live here. In terms of European cities, I suspect we're the only one that's growing, and growing at a rate of, we're talking about a million more people in London in 2026, and some people are saying that perhaps our population will get to 10 million by 2030. So this is really the buzz about London. London's attracting an awful lot of interest. That is stimulating a lot of public sector investment in Crossrail, improving the infrastructure, improving streets, and of course private investment through creating better accommodation for the people who want to be here. Shaftesbury, we continue to enjoy good demand across all of our villages and all of our uses. It's a story you've heard before, but it's as apparent today as it was 6 months or a year ago, and shows no sign of slowing down. We're going to talk today about lots of activity in the portfolio, be they schemes to improve our properties, management initiatives, a general day-to-day management style of improving our portfolio and moving on our income. It's all about bringing change and income growth at the end of the day. That's what moves this portfolio ahead off the back of good demand. In terms of acquisitions, you'll see we've bought some £12 million worth of new stock during the period. We probably have more than that in solicitors' hands at the moment. But the prosperity of the West End, it's unsurprising that it's making people ever more reluctant to sell. We don't miss opportunities in our areas. They're just not there in the first place. And we remain as selective, as choosy as ever. Everything we buy has to justify itself and fit in with the general picture of what we're trying to achieve here. So the pace of acquisitions is what it is. The growth from this business comes from the 1.9 billion of assets we own already, and the endless opportunities we see in improving what we already own. So I'm going to hand over to Chris now to talk about financial highlights, and then we'll follow up that with a few words about the portfolio performance, and then on to what's going on in the villages. So Chris, over to you.
Good morning, everybody. If you've got the slide packs, I guess, and I'll just run through the slides, but the profit before tax, £15.2 million, below the first half of last year, but pretty level with the second half. You know, it's been a good year, but we do have a high level of development activity, as Brian said. In fact, we have thick end of 6% of our ERV in refurbishments and redevelopments at the moment, which is broadly twice our long-term average. And at March, we had over 70,000 square foot of commercial space in either being developed or refurbished. So, you know, as we expected, there will be a bit of a hit in our income this year. Although the schemes are going as planned, and we're letting them in some cases pre-letting, and we'll talk about that as we go through the villages. With our big scheme on Fubert's Place, we've got two of the units under offer, and that's only just finished a couple of weeks ago. So we're pretty confident about the future here, and as such, we've declared an interim dividend of 6.25p, which is up 5% on last year, That means we're uncovered this year, as we broadly expected, and but I don't expect that to be the case next year. So tenant demand has remained strong. We've got low voids, good rent collections. It's been a pretty good period now. We've got a lot of lettings, actually, £5.5 million worth of sort of lettings and lease renewals, 70-odd transactions, and they've been at 3.1% above ERV last September. And our available to let vacancy was 2.8%, of which 1.1% was under offer at March. The valuation has shown an ERV increase of 2% on a like-for-like basis, which brings us up to 4.3% over the last 12 months. And that, with a bit of yield compression as well, about 8 basis points in the wholly owned portfolio, has pushed up our valuation. And we're now over £1.9 billion of assets. And our NAV was £5.23, which is up 5% on at the end of September. And it gives us an NAV return before dividends of 6.2%. And actually, if you look at the last 12 months, I know you've been sort of looking at 12 months this morning earlier on, that's a 13.8% return over 12 months. So if I move on, if we turn over to the sort of high-level P&L here, we have expected there to be muted income growth in the current year, largely because of our schemes. In fact, our net property income was up 1.1% to £35.9 million. Now, that doesn't tell the whole story. Underneath that, there's growth in rents across the portfolio. There's also the impact of acquisitions over the last 12 months. But we've got about a £1 million loss of income, loss of rent, because of our schemes in the first half, which is broadly what we expected. And in addition, where we've got empty space, we can't recover all of the service charges. There's a bit of a tick-up in costs. We don't capitalise these costs. Just on acquisitions, it's just worth saying that acquisitions this year, we've bought some properties that are vacant as we bought them, which is great for us because it lets us get into them and reconfigure the space and improve it straight away rather than having to wait for a while. But it means that actually the acquisitions this year, broadly, and not accretive, they're kind of neutral for earnings so far. Okay. Our admin expenses are up just a touch, and mainly because of headcount, and we have a charge for equity settled remuneration, which is a sort of, for those who've got an accounting background, an IFRS 2 charge. For those who haven't, it's a non-cash charge, which kind of reverses out anyways. A bit. Leave my thoughts on that alone. So leading down to our profit before tax and our earnings per share, as I discussed earlier. If we turn over, you can see the balance sheet. The balance sheet remains, very similar to that of September. There's an increase in the property value, as I said, and I've done a little bridge here. We spent £22 million on capex and acquisitions in the first half, and there was a £62 million revaluation. And if you look at our net debt, that has risen from £557 to £575 million, with £22 million of capex and acquisitions. So it's the opposite of the chart at the top. Actually, our final dividend was covered by the operating cash flows for the first half and a little bit more as well. If you turn over the page, you can see the net NAV bridge, and this is exactly what I would expect it to be. Actually, it's all driven by the revaluation of the properties, and the underlying profits are covering the dividends. So looking at our financial position, we remain conservatively leveraged. Our total debt is just over £575 million, and we have undrawn committed facilities of £120.6 million at the moment. An LTV of just over 30%, 30.1%, I suppose I should just say 30%, shouldn't I? And our earliest maturities are 3 years out. I did mention when we sat here in November that we were having discussions with our lenders over the 2016 maturities, and those discussions continue and are proving to be useful. I have nothing really to report at this point on that, other than what we're doing may mean that we extend some of our facilities out, but we're still having those discussions, so I can't just elaborate too much at the moment. Our interest rate swaps, the deficit on those fell, £4.6 million in the period. Although, actually, if you looked at it again today, the yield curve's moved in, and they'd probably be slightly worse than it was at September. It's a very volatile number. And, if you look at January, there was a real spike, and the deficit fell to £116 million from £133 at September. And then it's moved back out to £128 by March. So we keep it under review. And at the moment, the board is still of the view that cashing in this position is not the best use of funds for our business. With that, I would like to hand over to Brian.
Right. If we turn to pages 10 and 11 in the presentation, just to remind you what we do own. We're looking here at 13 acres in the wholly owned portfolio, another 2 acres in the Long Martin joint venture where we have a 50% interest, over 500 buildings, breaking down our 329 shops, give us something like 37% of our current income. But within those shops, 76 large shops, and we call large over 100,000 a year, give us 60% of our income. 253 smaller shops account for 40% of our income. So there is a, for the shopper, an interesting mix of unit sizes around the villages. 233 restaurants, cafes and bars give us 33% of our current income. And it's interesting to reflect, if you look back 5 years ago, shops were far more dominant, retail was a more dominant element of the portfolio. That gave us 42% of our income 5 years ago. So that's come down a little bit. Restaurants were at leisure, restaurants and leisure were at 28%. So now up to 33% and probably likely to rise over time. Our management strategies, which I think you all know very well, are directed for our shop and restaurant tenants of making areas prosperous and profitable for our tenants. If our tenants prosper, then our rents will grow. So, as I said, events like Record Store Day, Christmas lights, all those are key elements for us in raising the profile of our areas. Like everybody else, we have social media, we have websites, websites which attract 1.4 million hits a month. So there is huge interest in these areas. As I said, we have a mix of uses in the portfolio. 17% of our income comes from offices. For us, lots of small offices, but they are very much part of the creative scene in and around the West End. So the bigger office schemes are very important to us. And we always say the local working population is a big element of what keeps the West End busy, particularly during the weekdays when perhaps there are slightly fewer tourists around. Residential, again, an important part of the portfolio. Something nearly 450 flats in the wholly owned portfolio give us 12% of our income. That was only 7% 5 years ago, so we've seen quite a change there over time. Some of that's come through conversions, which we'll carry on doing, although obviously we've done a lot so far. But rental growth in our residential is very good, so it's moving rents on gradually. And actually the valuers don't recognise any reversion in residential rents. They just take the current rent as being the ERV of all of our flats. So this growth comes through on top of what the valuers recognise in ERV. Chris has touched on the valuation, so if we move on to pages 12 and 13, we've had capital value growth of 3.4% over the 6 months. Yield compression of 8%, 8 basis points in the half year. If you look back over the last 12 months, we're at 21 basis points of yield compression. It's a reflection of transactions that the valuers see in the market, but I have to say the properties we buy still come at keener yields than this, but the DTZ have their view on yields, and you know, the valuers, it's up to them. As we keep saying, good strong demand is growing like-for-like ERVs. We're up 2% over 6 months and just under 4.5% over the 12 months. And that's broadly across the entire portfolio and every street. So things do grow at different rates within Shaftesbury. That's a very broad brush average. Importantly, the reversion's up, even though our current income is up, 1.9 million. Our reversion is up slightly more than that, up by 2.6 million. So the potential in the portfolio is now just under £20 million. It's worth noting, it's not on the slide here, that DTZ still advise the board, advising shareholders really, that this is a unique portfolio. It has particular characteristics in terms of its location and uses. For us, we always say the great thing about this portfolio is you really don't have to spend a huge amount of money to keep it ticking over, but it produces good rental growth. It's very secure. So DTZ do remind shareholders that in their observation is that this portfolio would probably, if it ever became available, attract a higher valuation than they're allowed to reflect in their valuation report to the board. That's been there for a number of years, and I would be surprised if it wasn't there in the future. Benchmarking the portfolio on page 13, we've seen capital value return after allowing for just about 10 million of capex of 3.4% in the first half, which brings a cumulative for the last 12 months of 7.5% growth. So it's a good steady performance. We do continue to outperform the IPD monthly index by a considerable margin, and we have our rents growing across all aspects of the portfolio. This is the key element.
Moving on to page 14, as ever, we give you a breakdown of how the individual villages have performed. Obviously, in terms of value, it's all about Carnaby, Covent Garden and Chinatown. There they continue to perform well. Chinatown there looks a little more pedestrian over the 6 months. Tom will talk about this, as ever, it's a challenge there to get open market and rental evidence, and we're beginning to get a number of interesting schemes lined up. So even in Chinatown, I think the valuers will exercise a note of caution when we're getting space back about how quickly we'll relet it and what levels we'll get, but we're confident these schemes are going to unlock a lot of value over the next year or two. Portfolio reversion, well, again, I think we've talked about this. You'll see it's growing. It's about 24% of current passing rent. It's important to look at where that reversion sits, and if you look at the element of under-renting in the portfolio or the schemes we have in hand, much of it is focused on retail, restaurant and leisure uses, which we would say are the most secure. 80% of the under-rented reversion sits in shops and restaurants. And, well, say we work in a market where supply of these uses is very constrained. Demand is excellent. A very telling slide is on the next page, page 16, where you look at the, in terms of comparable Zone A rents, where our some of our key streets sit. And the message here is that whilst we do carry on getting good rental growth, our streets are not expensive in terms of the prime streets around us in the West End. So we don't feel there's any risk of us pricing ourselves out of streets. And the growth potential in our areas, particularly if we're successful in bringing more and more footfall and interest to these streets, suggests our rental growth does have a way to go, yeah. If we produced a similar slide for restaurants, I think you'd see again similarly that our restaurants do offer good value for tenants. It's a great location if we bring them lots of business to their doorstep. Page 17 is a summary of current activities. We said we've got lots and lots of schemes on. Which means that we do have quite a lot of ERV sitting in our refurbishment schemes at the moment, but I think you'll hear from Simon and Tom that these schemes are letting very well as and when we finish them. Some instances we're able to pre-let things, particularly restaurants, while they're under construction. Our CapEx was just under $10 million in the first half of the year, but as our biggest scheme, particularly in Carnaby, gets going, we'll have a slightly higher level in the second half. As ever, we remind you, this is a low capex model. The great thing about this business is we build these shells of retail and restaurant space, and we just keep reselling it. So there's a bit of upfront cost here, but generally the capex then after then is really quite modest. We've got a lot of apartments under refurbishment or being created at the moment. A lot of our stands, some 57. Some of those won't be available until the end of next year, particularly in the Carnaby scheme, but. We've got a substantial number that will be income producing in the second half of this year, and they alone give another just under £1 million worth of income. Lots of schemes across the portfolio. We say typically we've got 30 projects on the go at any one time, and they could be things that where we're looking to achieve planning consents for what we want to do. It takes a while sometimes to get vacant possession of schemes, and then we can be on site. So lots and lots going on. These schemes are an important driver of our growth, but all of our management initiatives are focused on moving the income on. It's as simple as that with Shaftesbury. So if I hand over now to Simon, who's going to talk about Carnaby and then follow on with some of the other villages.
Good morning. A common term that you've heard Brian and Chris talk about is the demand that we have across all our villages. It's very much the case in Carnaby across all uses in the Carnaby village, and we've actually seen rental growth across all streets and all uses. We've had a really busy period of activity over the last 6 months, and actually one of the things we always point out to people that one of the main parts of our strategy is to create a point of difference and to create a real destination by choosing the right retailers and the right restaurateurs. We've actually we've had three large shops open during the course of the year, and if you look at page 21, there's some images there which give an idea of the type of retailers that are coming into Carnaby. We've got Dr. Martin's, which we referred to at the last presentation. They're now open and trading incredibly well. 11 Paris is a French fashion brand, which they have just opened their first ever store outside of France. And Gant Rugger is a sub-brand of Gant, and they've opened their first ever store for the Gant Rugger brand in Beet Street. We've let three more large shops, which are not quite open yet but are fitting out. Benefit are taking 10 Carnaby Street, and this is for a new lifestyle store. They're going to be retailing on the ground floor, but then providing a full service for girls are going out for the evening in the basement. So that's if you want your hair done, your nails done, your eyebrows done, and have a glass of champagne at the same time. That's all going to be happening in this store. We've got Paul Smith Soho opening in Beak Street. We've been talking to Paul Smith probably for the last 10 years, and he's now opening up his new concept store, which is going to be aimed at very much at the younger market and very much denim focus. We're very excited about that, and that's going to be open in August. Scotch and Soda is a Dutch brand, again, who we've been talking to for some considerable time. They've got a couple of very small units in Westbourne Grove where they've been trying out the brand, but this is going to be their flagship UK store. They haven't got any other stores in the UK. We've also let three small units in Newburgh Street. Newburgh Street, we've actually got a current waiting list of people wanting to get in. We've got Superga, Pankhurst London, which is a very upmarket men's barber, and Filson, which is an American heritage brand from Seattle. And again, this is the first store that they've ever opened outside of the States. This really sort of shows the type of quality and type of retailers we're trying to get into the area. Carnaby Street headline rents have now risen to £458 per square foot, and there will be more to come in the second half. If I just point you now to page 23 and refer to our scheme at Lazenby House, we've now completed this redevelopment, which we had in mind about 12 years ago, which is one of our sort of forward-thinking aspects of our portfolio. These units have now been completed, totaling just over 8,000 square feet. Two of these units are now under offer, and I would anticipate that we would complete these lettings over the next 4 to 6 weeks, and we have substantial interest in the other unit. The offers are again from international brands looking for first stores in the UK. Going back to the main slide, Kingly Court, we continue the repositioning of Kingly Court as a food destination. We reported last time that we've got planning consent for a 3,400 square foot restaurant unit, which is on the basement, sorry, on the ground and first floors. This was pre-let to a really good new all-day concept who are currently fitting out, and they will be open in July. So this really firmly established Kingly Court more as a restaurant destination. We've taken back a number of other units and are talking to a lot of food operators for those units. On the office side, we've got, again, very strong demand. In fact, it's true to say that of our whole offices in Carnaby, we haven't got any vacant offices which are not either under offer or under refurbishment. We're currently refurbishing 27,500 square feet of offices, of which 9,000 square foot are currently under offer, and we hope to complete the letting of that very shortly. And another 7,000 square foot of that we're going to use as our own accommodation early in 2014. If you now turn over to page 24, you'll see the picture there. We've got a rather large hole in the ground, which is our development scheme at with frontages onto Fubert's Place and Kingly Street. Here we're creating 7,500 square foot of retail fronting Fubert's Place, 6,500 square foot of restaurants on Kingly Street, 10,500 square feet of offices and 12 new apartments. The original site held 14,500 square feet, so you'll see that actually at 32,500 square feet we've managed to really up the floor space in this scheme. We haven't started marketing these units at all at the moment. The retail and restaurants will be available to let in September 2014, and the offices and residential towards the latter part of the year. But we've got so many restaurateurs coming to us now saying we want to take the space and we'd like you to pre-let it to us. We're not going to do that at the moment, but it just shows the sort of interest that we have. Brian mentioned the importance of PR, promotion, marketing and events. And it's a common statement that we get from a lot of people looking to take our space, that this is one of the, obviously they want to be in this destination, but it's a real plus factor of why they want to come join one of our villages. This year we're looking at a real music theme for Carnaby. We started it off with a fairly good collaboration with the Rolling Stones, which you saw at the last presentation with our Christmas decorations, and we're doing a full research now into the history of music in Carnaby, starting right back in 1913 when the Marquee Cabaret Club in Beak Street opened. It actually was where Christine Keeler and Mandy Rice Davis were dancing when they met Mr. Perfumo in the 60s. This goes all the way through to modern day, and of course we've got Liam Gallagher with Pretty Green and Lily Allen with one of her stores in Carnaby. So that's going to be really good fun throughout the year.
Thanks.
Thanks, Simon.
Tom, Covent Garden.
Good morning. The relevant pages in the presentation, it's pages 26 and 27, from which you will see that Covent Garden is our largest village, and including our 50% share in the Long Martin joint venture, makes up some 35% of our portfolio. During the period, the majority of our acquisitions have been in Covent Garden. We've acquired two shops and two restaurants for a total of £9.5 million. As you would expect, these are absolutely core, typical Shaftesbury stock, all with good asset management angles. As you've heard from Simon in connection with Carnaby, it's a similar story with regard to tenant demand in Covent Garden. It's very robust across all uses. We continue to experience good interest from a broad range of retailers from both the UK and from overseas. And in Seven Dials, we are continuing to refresh and reposition the tenant mix. Recent openings include Le Coq Sportif's UK flagship on Earlham Street. We've put in British heritage menswear brand Crojack on Monmouth Street, Spanish fashion retailer El Ganzo in Neal Street, and quite a quirky retailer called Cambridge Satchels on Shorts Gardens, who sell really sort of beautifully crafted satchels in sort of almost any colour you might imagine. On the restaurant side, demand is especially strong, and we are always looking for opportunities to bring in new operators with interesting formats. One of the restaurants we recently purchased was acquired vacant. We are taking the opportunity to remodel some of that space, and that will be coming onto the market very shortly. Our redevelopment of the former Marquis of Granby pub on Cambridge Circus has been pre-let to Russell Norman of Polpo and Spuntino. We could have let this unit several times over. We had a really enviable lineup of potential operators, but he's going to do quite an interesting concept. Some of you will be familiar with the Spotted Pig in New York. This is going to be it'll be a pub, but with a sort of dining element to it. So we look forward to that coming through. Also on the restaurant side, in Neil's Yard, we're improving the food and beverage offer. Neil's Yard, it's quite a famous destination. It's well known, but it's basically had the same sort of tenant lineup for quite a long time. It needs to be refreshed and enlivened. And recently we let a small restaurant to a street food operator called Hope Slice. We're just moving it slightly in a different direction. We've got another unit which we're refurbishing at the moment, which will come on stream very shortly. On the offices side, demand is good. In fact, we've got virtually nothing to let in Covent Garden. Residential is performing very well and making an important contribution. We've got our largest concentration of residential apartments in Covent Garden, where we have some 185 in the wholly owned portfolio, plus another 75 in the joint venture, which now produce 18% of our income. Where we can, we will continue to convert our poorest offices to residential. And currently we have unimplemented planning consents for another 15 flats, and we're looking at further projects. Obviously, you will have heard lots of talk about Crossrail and the big schemes which are in the pipeline. I think it's just worth pointing out that there's some really quite important public realm improvement schemes which will be coming through in advance of Crossrail, which will benefit our locations. And for Covent Garden, potentially the most significant one is a planned remodelling of Cambridge Circus, which is to the south of Tottenham Court Road at the busy intersection of Shaftesbury Avenue and Charing Cross Road, which provides a very important pedestrian link between Soho and Seven Dials. By a sort of happy coincidence and some fairly vigorous prompting from Shaftesbury, Camden Council is currently trialling a partial road closure on Earlham Street in Seven Dials. Now, if this is formally adopted, which we think there are pretty good prospects for this because there seems to be good local support, it should then bring forward opportunity for public realm improvements on Earlham Street, which would connect into Cambridge Circus. Just before I move on to talk a little bit about Chinatown, I just want to do a quick plug for one of our events. There's a leaflet for you to take away about our Seven Dials and St Martin's Court shopping night, which is on the 30th of May. This is something we're doing in collaboration with the Evening Standard. All of the streets around Seven Dials will be closed to traffic. We've got over 100 retailers participating. I do hope that some of you can come along. And for those listening in, there are details available on the website. If we could turn then to the relevant pages for Chinatown, really it's pages 29 and 30 of the presentation. Chinatown is all about the restaurants in Chinatown. They produce some 62% of our income. Their prosperity remains underpinned by the big theatres on Shaftesbury Avenue, the cinemas in Leicester Square, the vast numbers of tourists that this area attracts, and also it's very late hours of trading. Consequently, and probably it's no surprise, demand for all uses remains strong and the level of voids is low. We have a number of asset management initiatives in hand, and I think it's probably worth highlighting one or two just to give you a flavour of current activity. In April this year, we obtained vacant possession of a large restaurant on Gerrard Street, which we are currently reconfiguring and would expect to pre-let. In September, we expect to secure possession of a 4,500 square foot restaurant on Wardour Street, which we plan to refurbish and reconfigure and possibly introduce some residential for the upper floors. As you know, one of our objectives is to improve the diversity and quality of cuisine in Chinatown, and these schemes present opportunities for us to do so. I am very often asked for Chinatown restaurant recommendations, so you might be interested to hear we've persuaded the operator of Bar Shu in Soho to venture into Chinatown and take a restaurant from us, and next month we'll see the opening of the Great Leap Forward, which I'm not sure what Chairman Mao would think about as a name, but at 8 Little Newport Street. And I have to say, if his other ventures are anything to go by, this one will be well worth visiting. In Chinatown, our residential stock presents an opportunity for some upgrading and repricing. Some of our poorest flats can be found in Chinatown. Many of them were converted or refurbished over 10 years ago. And while we have enjoyed an uninterrupted income stream over the period with very, very nominal levels of expenditure, capital values in this particular location have lagged relative to other West End locations. And this is something that we are addressing at the moment. We are continuing to work very closely with Westminster Council in upgrading the public realm. In March, with our support, the council implemented a new traffic management scheme on Wardour Street, and Wardour Street is now pedestrianised from midday each day. Later on this summer, we will be part funding some repaving works to the southern section of Wardour Street, which is a very important gateway to Chinatown.
Great, thank you, Tom. Back to Simon and Soho.
We believe that Soho actually is going to provide us with great opportunities to acquire further buildings in due course. It's not something that we can force people to sell, as Brian has been saying before. But during the course of the 6 months, we purchased one building and we have another two buildings under offer. We never quite get the timing right for these presentations, but we shall see. We've got a number of discussions ongoing with other parties, and Soho's quite a large part with lots of activity. We now own 59 shops and restaurants, predominantly based around Berwick Street and the surrounding area, but also now in Brewer Street and Old Compton Street, which we see as very important east-west routes linking the west through to Covent Garden. We've got a very active refurbishment program, as we have in all of our villages, and we've got a number of schemes ongoing at the moment, including the creation of two new restaurants, one at the top end of Berwick Street and one at the bottom end. Both of these schemes are still ongoing, but we have actually pre-let both of these restaurants. I think it's fair to say, as Tom says to Covent Garden, we could have let these 10 times over. I think one thing about London now, it has probably got the best restaurant offer, in my view, in the world. Maybe not at the really highest level, but for the quality and the variety and the real theatre that these produce, which is very exciting for us, really. There's an awful lot of activity in the Soho area going on at the moment. We've talked endlessly in the past about Kemp House, which PMB are now, we understand, in pre-application discussions with Westminster to create a hotel unit on the upper floors. Soho Estates are looking to redevelop Walker's Court as a mixture of theatre, their own offices and restaurant. You've got the Crown's extended scheme in Brewer Street and Trenchard House, which last time you walked around was rather a large building in Broadwick Street. Well, effectively now it's been demolished, where it's predominantly residential space but with a commercial element totalling 6,500 square feet on the Broadwick Street frontage. You saw from the slide previously about rental levels. If you look at rental levels for retail in Soho, it's very low compared to other locations, and yet there is huge demand. We're actually saying now that the West is the new East, where a lot of people who wanted to enter the UK market or the London market would look at Shoreditch for these concepts. We're now seeing increasingly they want to come over to Soho for the seven-day-a-week trade they get there. An example of that would be Nudie Jeans, which is a brand from Sweden, who just opened their first ever store in the UK in Berwick Street on the junction with Darblay Street, and they've also taken their showrooms there. We think it's really important that actually, whilst we're encouraging these brands to take space, that we also retain the historical fabric of Berwick Street, so with the fabric shops and the vinyl units as well, and the vinyl stores, which is, of course, what we were talking about with Record Store Day. Brian mentioned, if anybody could recognise the guy singing on the front, well, that's Frank Turner, who actually was one of the stars for the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games. And if you actually look very closely at this video, you'll see two other stars, but I'm not going to tell you who they are, but they're very major movie stars. Interestingly, these events are all about creating awareness for our destinations, not just on the day, but going forward. But one of our retailers, Meissen Fabrics, came in to me and said that actually he'd had his record day on Record Store Day, so that was quite a good indication. Moving on to Charlotte Street. While Charlotte Street is a relatively small part of our portfolio, it still remains a major part of our strategy going forward. Our Soho areas, there's an awful lot of activity going on. I'm sure you heard earlier on about Great Portland's proposals for the post office site. We are actively seeking new investments in the area, and we think that there will be opportunities going forward. Great restaurant demand again in this location. It's just a matter of really finding more stock.
Great. Thank you, Simon. Well, just to wrap up, really, I think enough has been said about London's prosperity and prospects. It's an international destination for businesses and visitors. Interesting that probably the biggest growth sector seems to be media, technology, the creative industries, and I'd say their natural home is with us in the West End. Shopping, well, our shopping gets better and better here, and we're considered to be in the world's top four shopping destinations. So whilst UK consumers may still be under pressure, there are plenty of people around the rest of the world who are not in the same slightly constrained situation, and they all come to London and they enjoy our shopping. And the growth in restaurants is phenomenal. The quality and the variety is a good reason to come to London now. You would never have said that 10 or 15 years ago. Crossrail is stimulating a lot of projects, as we've said, particularly around our villages. Everything we own is within a 10-minute walk. 10 minutes walk of either Bond Street or Tottenham Court Road. This public investment in the infrastructure is being stimulated because I think that people like Westminster and Transport for London are realising that with extra numbers of people coming here, we have to be able to cater for them. So we were concerned post-Olympics there may be no money for street schemes. It's actually quite the opposite. More money is being found and a lot of things are being advanced in advance ahead of Crossrail actually starting to run in 2018. We're busy across all of the portfolio. We're always looking for change and new schemes. That's what we're all about. This is the main driver of our rental growth. I can confidently predict that there is not going to be a rush of available properties to buy that meet our criteria in Soho. It's going to continue to be tight. but we're very patient, we're very determined, we're very focused, and we do over time pick up the things we need. But meanwhile, we do have an awful lot to be getting on with in the existing portfolio. And Tom's example of revisiting assets that we've owned for 25 years and there's still value-creating opportunities there is something to remember. Finally, our theme, well, we're as enthusiastic as ever about this. We've been around these markets for a long time. We know what works and what doesn't. We're committed to the strategy, but we do respond to change the whole time. We don't take life for granted, and you know, we move on with our ideas. That's what this business is all about, change and change. So that's, I think, probably enough from us. So I'd like to throw the floor open to questions, and then we'll take questions from those who are listening in. When you do get a microphone, if you could just introduce yourself and say where you're from, please.
Good morning, Ben Richard from Green Street. The premium to NAV your shares trade at indicate a willingness by public market shareholders to pay lower yields for your assets than they're valued at by your valuers. Which one's right?
Good question. Well, if you believe markets are always right, then the market must be right, really. I don't know, shareholders buy on a different, looking at obviously growth prospects and security. There's a number of factors, I guess, that influence people to buy shares and the prices they're prepared to trade at. But really, we don't really have a view on our share price. That is driven by lots of market factors beyond our control. We're just here as management to keep growing the asset value at the end of the day. But we do have a pretty good handle on what the long-term value of buildings are in central Soho, what their income prospects are. That's what we're good at, really. The world of equities is your world, I'm afraid.
ERV growth of 4.3% for the 12 months. That's less than Great Portland got on their West End retail. It's maybe a bit less than we've seen rents moving on some of the main thoroughfares in the West End. Could you just give us some indication as to whether your valuers have been too conservative in your view, or is it just that your streets have performed less well than the main Oxford Street, Regent Street thoroughfares?
Well, I think a quick look at Great Portland, they've been talking about their retail growth. Ours is a general ERV growth across restaurants, shops, residential, and offices. So it's a sort of broad analysis. Other streets have all got different characteristics in the West End. They're not all the same. Even ours move at different rates at different times. Yes, we do have some exceptional transactions, but it just varies, really. So we take as a very broad brush average. All I can say is that we're always happy to see other people raising the rental tone in their streets. As our slide shows, it makes ours look even better value and gives us a lot more scope for raising rents in the future.
But the 4.3 over 12 months, would you think that...
We've always said that our long-term average is between 3 and 5%, and that's over 25 years, so we carry on at our good steady rate. That's what we would say. It's a sort of bang in line, really. It's quite interesting that whilst the value has attributed 2% ERV growth across the portfolio, the actual transactions we did in the first 6 months were at, on average, about 3.1%, and that was over 70 transactions. So the values are right to be cautious, really. In individual streets, you have to prove the level with transactions.
Probably part answers your first question as well.
Okay, thank you.
Michael Burt, Espirito Santo. I just had a question on slide 16, where you look at the tone of Zone A retail rents. I know your schemes on Foubert's Place are progressing. You said you're under offer on two of the units there. I guess the hope those schemes had been to bridge the gap between Zone A rents on Foubert Street where you are on Zone A rents on Foubert Street to where you are on Carnaby Street. I was just wondering how you think the Zone A rents will move on Foubert Street sort of pre and post development.
Without saying actual figures, we have bridged the gap. We haven't got the same level of rents that we got on Carnaby Street. We didn't anticipate doing that, but actually I think we needed to create the larger unit to create the right mix in there, and then I'm fully confident that actually over a period of time rents in Foubert's Place will match those in Carnaby Street. Foubert's Place is actually as busy as Carnaby Street, with the main entrance coming in from Regent Street. But it's just getting the right mix and getting the right tenant mix, and then we'll see that growth.
And I just had a question on Soho as well. I think in sort of previous valuations, we'd seen Soho slightly underperform the rest of the portfolio, whereas this time it's actually slightly led the rest of the portfolio. Is it just that sort of you've got the critical mass of ownership now, and you've always said things take time to move sort of rents on there? I mean, what is it the valuers have seen now in Soho that they hadn't previously?
Rents have moved on, certainly, and that is on the factor of actually improving the tenant mix and actually also the activity that's happening in the area. One thing I didn't mention, actually, there's going to be quite a lot more public funding into the Berry Street market particularly. I think it's really just a really a matter of demand and increase in rents. I mean, but the rents, as you can see, are still very conservative compared to other locations.
Mike Bessel, just very interested in your comments on DTZ, noting a premium valuation, a premium would be attached to the valuation of the overall portfolio, obviously the equity market is well aware of. But do you have any granularity as whether that is as a result of the concentration within each portfolio, therefore it's a Chinatown premium for the concentration of assets there and the same for Carnaby Street, or is it for the aggregate portfolio across Shaftesbury as a whole?
It's more of towards that higher level of aggregation. Valuers do already value on a lotting basis, so they will look at pretty much all of Carnaby as a single lot because it would be logical to sell individual buildings out of that. So we have these groups of assets all around that are lumped together. Beyond that, there is another level of potential consolidation and value add, which they're not allowed under the Red Book to reflect. So I think they're looking at further bits of consolidation or the portfolio as a whole. But this comment has been in the valuation report now for as long as I can remember, really, certainly over 15 years. It's probably, I suspect it's more true than ever today because why would people pay for this portfolio? It's management opportunities. In a way, the most important element of all of this is the ripple effect. You know, we improve one building and we get the benefit of all the other buildings in the street following the same track. And it is a very low capex model. I mean, we've got a bit of capex on at the moment, but on average, we will probably spend less than £20 million a year on nearly £2 billion worth of assets. So the net return is very good, very secure location. We can just go on and on about this forever, but I say that there are other landed estates around us, but of course, they're not in the publicly available, level will be.
Morning, Tim Leckie, JP Morgan. As you said, further schemes identified within the portfolio. Could you just give an indication whether we're going to see the amount of space or ERV held for refurbishment increase from the 6-ish% now, or will these schemes come online as the current schemes underway are permitted and that percentage will come down?
Chris? Well, we've always got schemes on the go. We have probably over 30 schemes on the go at any point in time, Tim. So, and some of those range from the sort of conversion of a couple of flats to maybe putting a floor on the top, right the way through to digging a great big hole in the ground in Kingly Street. And I think in the short term, we've got this spike because of, our two major schemes in Carnaby, plus the 27,500 square foot of office space, which for us is an enormous space in just two buildings to have empty. And as we go through 2013 and 2014, I would expect to see them come back into the portfolio on a sort of drip basis because Lazenby House is complete now. Carnaby Court completes in the back end of 2014. One of the offices will come in over the final half and the other office in probably second quarter next year. So sort of dripped over the 2 years. Then I would see a sort of more levelling out. But there are, you know, potential for bigger schemes further down the line. And as and when we do those, we don't do them if we think we're confident we can grow the rents. It's a short-term pain for long-term gain. That's what my gym instructor used to tell me. Obviously used to is the...
No comment. and just one to keep in your good graces. Kemp House, is anything happening there? You mentioned it in the slide on developments around your areas.
We really only know what's in the public domain, but we do understand that they are talking now to Western City Council with their initial ideas for developing the site. And the development is predominantly to put an extra floor on the building and create a hotel unit there.
Thanks a lot.
Any more questions in the room?
Can I ask those who are listening in if there are any questions out there?
Thank you. Telephone participants, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads now. You can press 02 on your telephone keypads to withdraw your question at any time, and there'll now be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Again, just to remind you, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 01, or you may press 02 to cancel. There'll now be a further pause while questions are being registered. Once again, if you do have a question, please press 01.
Don't feel under any obligation to ask a question, please.
And we have no questions on the telephone lines at this time.
Fine. I thought it was going to go that way. Well, thank you very much for coming along today. As ever, we'd like you to come and have a look around the portfolio. You or any of your clients, we're always happy to show people around. These schemes are always best seen on the ground. Please do come along to Seven Dials Shopping Evening next Thursday, which promises to be a great evening. The road closures do actually give the area a completely different character. We did this back in November, and if the weather's on our side, it'll be a great summer's evening out. There's some information packs at the back of the room for you, and I'll save the best till last. There is actually a new restaurant guide for you, so if you're looking for places to eat in the West End, do use the restaurant guide and let us know what you think of the restaurants. So with that, thank you very much for coming along. Please do look at the new website as well.